He's risen.
He is risen indeed.
But is he alive? You see, if nothing has changed, if our lives are just the same as they were before, then he may have been risen, but is he really alive? And I look back in that first Easter Sunday, and I wonder if Jesus felt a little bit like Charles Hubbard of Austin, Texas. Charles is a Navy vet from the Vietnam War. He received a letter from the Bureau of Veteran Affairs informing him that he had died on January 15th, 2014. The letter went on to tell him that all the benefits that he had received since that time had to be repaid in full. They also took the liberty of informing his bank of his untimely demise, and they promptly closed his account. Worried that maybe they also sent notification to his daughter, he quickly dialed her up and assured her that he very much was still alive, thinking a similar call to the Department of Veteran Affairs could clear up this mess. He dialed them up as well. Can you guess how well that went? The story aired in August of 2014, and at that point, Charles said it could take up to 8 months to get the thing resolved. Who knew it was so hard to prove that you're alive? But for Charles, it was pretty hard. And I sometimes wonder if it was equally hard for Jesus. As we read through the gospel accounts of Jesus and his appearances to his disciples, which he does in various ways, and one time in the upper room, and then another time he goes fishing with them, another time he's eating with them. But around all of those instances, you have this doubt that is creeping into all of their hearts. They see that indeed, yes, he's risen, but not sure that he's alive. It makes me wonder if even today that same thing could be happening. Millions of people are going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus around the world today. But for those millions of people celebrating his resurrection, will he truly be alive for them? They'll give shouts that he is risen, risen indeed, but by tomorrow morning, it'll be a distant memory and nothing will have changed. See, my friends, if he's not alive, then nothing has changed. If he's not alive, then nothing has changed in our life, nothing has changed in our destiny, and there's nothing changed in the way we live as well. Charles Hubbard could go to the Department of Veteran Affairs. He could show himself to say, see, I'm really alive. He could produce all kinds of documentation proving that he indeed was living and breathing. But until they changed his status, until they accepted the fact that he was alive, nothing was going to change. There would be no pension checks. There would be no bank account. He would have no identity. Even though he was alive, it would be just as if he was dead. Even though Jesus had rose from the grave, sometimes you wonder if it isn't just as if he were still dead. Take a look at the disciples and their reaction to Jesus when they see him. Let's take a quick look. We'll take a look at Luke 24. So Jesus comes to them in the upper room. Jesus says, why are you frightened? And why are your hearts filled with doubt? And then he goes on to say, he says, look at my hands, look at my feet. He says, you can see, it's really me. Go ahead and touch me. And yet down in verse 41 it says, still they stood there in disbelief. Or the one that really gets me is at the end of Matthew's gospel. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus has been appearing to people for 40 days. At one time to 500 people, another time on the banks of the Sea of Galilee to his disciples in the upper room. He's eaten supper with them. He's taught them, right? And now, just before he ascends into heaven, they see him again. But listen to the encounter. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Now, he's been with them for 40 days. They've spent all kinds of time with him, and they worship him, but they're still not quite sure. Yeah, he's risen, but is he alive? Nothing has changed for the disciples' lives. They're living just like they did before the resurrection. So yeah, he was risen, but he wasn't really alive. I'll show you what I mean. If you go to John chapter 21, so it says the disciples were all gathering together in one place. It says several disciples were there, Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, two other disciples, and Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. Really? I mean, honestly, think about that for a moment. They've spent 3 years with Jesus, learning at his feet. They've come to believe that indeed he is the Son of God. They are convinced that he's the long-awaited Messiah. This is the man that says, "I will suffer, I will die, and then I will be raised back to life." And then, true to his word, he did just that. And the best they can come up with is, "I think I'll go fishing." Nothing's changed for them. Yes, he is risen, but he's still not really alive. He just as well could be dead, because nothing's changed. Has anything changed for you? As you gather here on Easter morning, has anything changed for you? You have all the evidence that you need, just as the disciples did. We've got the evidence of the empty tomb, and even more powerful than that, we have the evidence that history records that these 11 men went on to testify about Jesus, each of them giving the same account of his life, his death, and his resurrection. They did that for the rest of their lives. And what did they get for their efforts? They were laughed at, they were mocked, worse than that. They were tortured, they were beaten, and eventually they all died. Now, I dare you to find one person that will die for a lie. But to have 11 guys agree for their entire life on the story and then die for that, not a chance. Even more than that, you have to know that the Roman officials wanted to make sure that everyone thought Jesus was dead. All the Jewish higher up, they wanted to make sure that people thought that Jesus was dead because they were trying to stop a movement. So they would try anything possible to prove that, but they couldn't. We have all the evidence we need. Jesus lived among us, he died, and he came back to life. But does that change anything for you? Is your life any different because of that news? Will you pack Jesus away with the Easter eggs and baskets and forget about him till next year? If it hasn't changed you, then it's just as if Jesus was still dead. But he's not. He's alive. He's alive, and that changes everything. Yes, he is risen, but he is alive. It changed everything for his disciples. His disciples, yes, at first they couldn't quite grasp it, but then on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit comes to them and convicts their hearts and convinces them that Jesus is alive. And now these guys are literally on fire. You can't stop them. They're going to tell the world about Jesus. And for sure, Jesus is the most influential person in all of history. And who are the guys that spread the news? These 11 guys. On that day, 3,000 people were baptized. Since that time, billions of people have been baptized in his name because everything changed for them when Jesus was alive. Everything can change for you. Everything can change for you. The same Spirit that was there at Pentecost is the same Spirit that is alive and active right now, right here today. It is that Holy Spirit in baptism that captures our hearts, that instills faith and convinces us that Jesus is our Savior. It's that same Holy Spirit that works through the Word of God that convinces us and shows us that it is true and that we can count on it and we can trust it. It's that same Spirit that lives in you. Listen to what St. Paul said to the church at Rome. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That same Spirit. Jesus is alive, and it changes everything for you. Because you see, if Jesus is alive, that means faith is not futile. It means failures are not fatal, and funerals are not final. Our faith is not futile. If Jesus came back to life, if he walked out of the grave and is alive, that means he's more than just some good teacher that we could take some pointers from. He's more than just a good moral character that we could imitate our life after. He's more than just a philosopher. He is the Son of God, just as he said, because he conquered death. If he's the Son of God, then everything that he said and every promise that he made, you can take to the bank. You can believe it. Because if the guy tells you, I'm going to die and come back to life, and he does it, then everything, every word that he spoke is gospel truth. That means your faith. It isn't some futile attempt to deal with life. Your faith is not, it's not something that's futile. And your failures, they're not fatal. They're just not. Sometimes we can think that our failures are fatal. We say to ourselves, now I've gone too far this time. I've said too much. There's no coming back. I've done one too many things. I've broken one too many relationships. I've just done so much that there's no coming back. No. Failures are not fatal. Ask Peter. Peter on Thursday night swears that he would rather die than deny Jesus. Early Friday morning, he swears that he never knew the man. Now, if you can come back from that, swearing that you don't know the Son of God. And Peter came back. You know why? Because Jesus is alive. And Jesus restored Peter. Peter goes on to start the Christian church. He started the Christian church in Jerusalem. The effects of still being felt today. That's because failures are not fatal, and neither are yours. I don't care how many skeletons you have in a closet. I don't care what hideous deed you may have done in the past, as serious as it might be. The cross of Jesus Christ says the debt of that sin has been paid, and the empty tomb says forgiveness is yours. The slate has been wiped clean. You can kiss guilt behind. You can say goodbye to shame and regret. That's what the cross and the empty tomb are all about, because Jesus is alive. Your failures are not fatal. And funerals are not final. Funerals are not the last word. In fact, funerals are the beginning. They're beginning of eternity, because Jesus conquered the grave, because Jesus defeated death, and he gives that victory to you. Listen to what St. Paul went on to say to the church at Rome. He said, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. He gives you that same life. The grave could not hold Jesus, and it will not hold you. What it means is that when you gather at the funeral of a Christian friend, you say to yourself, but this isn't the final word. This is the beginning. And when your family and loved ones gather at your funeral one day, they're going to know this isn't the final word. This isn't the end. This is the beginning of an eternity in a place that's far better than where we're at right now. Funerals, they're not final. If Jesus is alive, everything is different. Let me bring it down to this. This is my hope and my prayer for you on Easter. And that is, may it change everything for you. May this Easter change everything for you. And the simplest way that I can explain it is, don't be George Wilson. Do not be George Wilson. George Wilson was a convicted murderer who was sentenced to death. Then President Andrew Jackson followed the case, decided that he was innocent, and he did what only a president can do. He issued an executive pardon. The problem is that when it was delivered to George Wilson, he refused the pardon. And in refusing the pardon, he says it is null and void. Nobody knew what to do. Who refuses an executive pardon, especially when you're on death row? But George Wilson did, and he stood by it. It went all the way up to the Supreme Court because nobody knew how to handle it. And finally, the Supreme Court ruled on it. And Justice Marshall said this, "A pardon is merely a piece of paper if that pardon is not accepted by someone." George Wilson was executed. He refused the pardon. Don't refuse the pardon. Let Easter be more than just a couple hours. Let it be more than a day, more than a lifetime. It's an eternity. You have an executive pardon written in the blood of Jesus that says you've been declared innocent. You've been declared free. And it's all because Jesus is alive. Yes, he is risen from the grave, but he is alive, and he is alive in you. And that changes everything. Your faith isn't futile. Failures are not fatal. And funerals are not final. He's risen, but he's alive. In fact, let's change it up. Instead of he's risen indeed. How about he's risen and you say he's alive? He's risen.
He's alive.
He's risen.
He's alive.
And that changes everything, my friends. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son into our world, for making such a great sacrifice for us. Jesus, thank you for willingly going to the cross into the tomb and then marching forth out of that tomb, declaring a victory that you share with us. Holy Spirit, enter into our hearts. Live in us so that we would know and believe that he is alive. In his name, amen.